Okay, so we've been talking about our as this final episode of the Daniel Tehillim show, as Elo Divrei David HaAchronim, the last words of David, and we talked about the fact that this little piece from Shmuel, not from Tehillim, even though it clearly is poetic, but that they're really just pieces, they're notes. David's kind of putting some of these pieces together, never gets completed. We talked about the idea that he says, "Amar Elokei Yisrael li," that God spoke to me, that you're Moshe Ba'adam, you'll rule, it's tzaddik, you'll be righteous, Moshe Yirat Elokim, ruling with the Yirat Elokim. We talked about that being the nature of that being our sense of being separate, that creating a place for God, building the Beit HaMikdash is prior to Yirat Elokim. That's his goal. That's what he wants to do. And the next pasuk, reading this as a sort of piece of the autobiography of David, is inspiring Ke'or HaShemesh Yizrach Shemesh, and he will light Ke'or Boker Yizrach Shemesh, that he will light up, and like the sun lights in the morning. Boker Lo Avot, we have in a cloudless morning. He's got all this infinite potential in front of him. He becomes king. He basically walks into Yerushalayim, unites the country, wins all his battles. Decides this we're going to make this happen. All these prophecies from Yaakov, from Moshe, they're all going to happen. Minoga umimataran. This is one of these phrases that doesn't quite make any sense. From light and from rain. Desha me'aretz. There's grass from the ground. And which I would translate minoga from the light and mimatar and from the rain. And I would translate this to the translation as brighter than the glint of the rain on the grass.
Isn't Noga Venus?
It is Venus, but the word noga means glow or shine.
Ah.
Taken for Venus as in like the morning star.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
So clearly, like the light of the rain, because the reference of the idea of rain on the grass comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, comes from Parsha Hazinu. And he says, Yarov kamatar lichi, may my teaching fall like rain. My words drip like dew, kisrima like rain on the grass. Moshe sees himself giving the Torah that says that is, it's like water, life-giving rain onto the grass, esev, like the gentle rains on the greenery. Kishem
I'm
Hashem
wearing Danny.
Yeah.
Golda Meir's daughter lives on Kibbutz Revivim in the Negev.
Kibbutz Revivim,
Yeah.
which is from the sense of rain, I guess so.
That's so.
What is this? I have two lines here. So that's the idea. But I think here, the Dub is saying like he would even be brighter than that rain on the grass in the sense of like giving the Torah, that he'd be even bright, shine even brighter than Moshe. He would be leading them not in this potential. Moshe doesn't get to doesn't get to the promised land. Dub is looking at his future. He can do this. Unite the kingdom, establish the dynasty, build the Beit HaMikdash. He will be Melech HaMashiach. And then the next pasuk. Yilo kein beiti imkel. Because my house is not this way with God. And everyone reads this as a rhetorical question. Is my house not firm with God? Am I not set? Can I do that? But I think you might have almost said that it's actually a statement that it will not be, right? That I have this potential, but I never made it. So the what he says, ki lo kein beiti, my house is not like this, or not is it not said? So we could read it as a statement. The Ralbag says specifically that my house is not like Shaul. Shaul had it was king and then lost it. Lo kein beiti, Elis. Ralbag Ritzon Lomar, she malchuti, that God will not take away my kingdom. It is set. Tekef kimo hanyin malchut, would not take my kingdom away. In a generation, the way he did with Shaul. But I think he's actually kind of hinting more directly that despite the potential, His house is not cane, is not set, and it's not or Boker Yizrach Shemesh. It's not shining as like the light of morning, because he kind of loses that potential. When he says Kilo Kilo Kane Beiti, my house means two different things to David. He's got two different Beitim. Beitiot? What's the plural of Bayit?
But
Batim? Right,
you
Batim.
know.
Okay. Which is his dynasty, usual translation of Bayit, and also the Bayit that he would build. And we know when Natan comes to him and says, you're not going to build the Beit Midash. This is the nevuah that Natan had. Lecher Martel Adidel David. Hashem tells Natan, David is at this point where he feels he's at peace with the world. He's eliminated the enemies of Israel. He can build this Beit Midash. No, Lecher Martel David David, go tell my servant David, Kor Hashem, Atativne li bayit l'shivti. You think you're going to build this house for me to dwell in? God says, Menayom asher tziviti shoftim al ami Yisrael, from the day that I established the shoftim, until now, when I have given you peace from your enemy. That's the qualification. You have peace from your enemies around, then you can build it. Hashem is telling you that you're not going to build a house for me, I'm going to build a house for you. You're going to get this bayit. Yilum because you will fill your days with shachatam of you will die, you will return to your ancestors. The children who will come from you, I will establish them. And I will set his kingdom. He will build this house. And I will set his throne up forever. So, ki lo kein beiti, my bayit is not like this in both senses. My dynasty. It will be built, and the house that I want to build will be built. But they're not going to be, or what's the phrase we have over here? Or Boker Yizrach Shemesh. It won't be like bright as the morning sun. They will see darkness. The Beit HaMikdash is going to be imperfect and will eventually be destroyed. The house of David will have its problems, and they will lose the malchut. Because so then he says, "Ki brit olam samli," because God has set an eternal covenant with me, arucha, ordered, b'chol, and everything ushmaran, guarded. It doesn't mean it will never be punished. And that's what David tells Shlomo, his son, that yes, Hashem promised that his kingdom will be. Your throne will be established forever. That's not a guarantee. David tells his son, "Dibrei now, my son, let God be with you. Hitzlachta, you'll be successful. Benita bayit Hashem elkecha, you will build this house to God. Kasher diberalacha, like he said, Akitain lacha Hashem seichel bina, but I. But please, God, let God give you some wisdom. Yitzavcha al Yisrael, and will command you to lead Israel. Shmor Torah Hashem Elokecha. You need to keep the Torah. As soon as you lose it, all these guarantees go away. Because then you'll be successful. If you keep all the laws, the commandments, Hashem tzivah Hashem at Moshe al Yisrael, that Hashem commanded Moshe, then Chazak v'yamatz, al tirah v'yaltechat. You will be strong. You will not be afraid. And so he's looking at himself, and he has his bayit is going to happen, and he has this brit olam that Hashem gave to him, but it's still conditional. So he ends this pasuk, ki kol yishiv kol chepetz ki lo yatzmiach, because my salvation, everything I want, shall it not prosper? As a rhetorical question, but really a question. Because it's not a simple question. And the next person makes that clear, that for all that David tried, things fell apart in the end. The next pasuk. Uvlial kakotz munad. Kulham. And the Belial, the wanton, the wicked, will be thrust away like thorns. will all be thrust away like thorns. Lo bi'yikachu, because they can't be handled by hand.
Danny, once where's the first place that they use Bleial in the Torah, you know? Was it Shiloh or no? It was probably
The
before that.
Torah, pretty sure that's, sorry, let's go. That I think that's the term used by Lot.
Oh, yeah.
The people of Sodom.
That makes sense. That's much earlier.
Let's go find that. Yeah, it's a word that comes up a lot. Let's see. No, they don't use Enshei Belial there. No, that doesn't use that term. It's used by Pelegish Begiva, definitely.
Yeah.
It definitely happens. So these are Belial. And that, but that term comes up a lot in Shmuel.
Now I would think
Since
also in Shoftim now.
it's in Shoftim by Pelegish Begiva. It's the term is used by Ir Nidachet in the Torah,
And
and
definitely
also,
with Eli's son.
yeah, right. So that's what we're talking about, and that's in Shmuel. Okay, so
Oh,
that,
yeah.
right, and that's the idea that he's comparing that specifically the enemies that he's looking at are Belial, literally means wanted, Belial. That's what Rashi says. Belial is Belial, without any kind of control, without out of. They're out of control, no limitations, without being subject to any kind of order. They're pirko or lo shel makom. They cast off the yoke of heaven. So where we said before in the beginning that David describes himself as hagever hukam ol, the one who established the yoke, the forces that can destroy him are the lack of control. And that's what led to all the tragedies of Sefer Shoftim. I mean, it uses the term Belial occasionally, but the big point there was that there by Melech Yisrael, Yishe Yashar by Nav Yaseh. There's no king. So David is going to establish that order, and then but all these forces are fighting against him are trying to eliminate that order. And that's what led to the destruction of Shiloh. You mentioned that. Bnei Eli are called Blei Belial. And David's own men, when he starts out as a bandit thief in Midbar Yehuda, all these people around him, they're Belial.
Yeah.
That's in the end of Shmuel Aleph.
I didn't realize all David's Mari men were Belial.
Well, the way it's described as the final battle with Amalek, Bayan Kol Ish Ra'u Belial, all these evil Belial men, Menashim Asher David, of those who went with David, I don't know if all of them were, but that's part of those who went with him. So you could try to keep them under control. I mean, we look at Yoav and Abishai trying to kill everybody. That's about the same sense of Belial. You do what you need to do, without worrying about the laws. And similarly, what's going to split the kingdom at the end of his reign? That final battle with Sheva ben Bichri at the end of Sefer Shmuel, which I think is what Rabbi Shulman's up to right now in Sefer Shmuel.
Yeah.
That's who he is, right? Visham Nikra Ish Belial. And there happened to be a man who was Belial, lawless, out of control. Vishmo Sheva ben Bichri, Ish Minin, he was named Sheva ben Bichri from Binyamin, Beit Kabba Shofar, he blows the shofar, Vayomer, Ein Lanu Chelek B'David, Lo Nachla Lanu Ben Yishai. We have no part in David. And the son of Yishai, Ish lo ohalav Yisrael. This is declaring that Yisrael and Yehuda are separate. We're splitting the country again. So he starts out with this problem of Belial. He ends up with this problem of Belial, and that's what he'll face the whole time. And in fact, in the time of his grandson under Rehoboam, that same expression, Ein lanu chelek b'David lo nach ben Yishai, will be Yerovam's motto, and he will split the kingdom then. So he's sort of seeing those cracks are developing, and he sees this, right? That there's this coats, these thorns of the Belial. They're compared to thorns specifically. And when we think about thorns, is that in Tanakh, thorn bushes are associated with kindling, spreading fire. Not so much the fact that they hurt, not the pain of being pricked with the thorns, but the fact that they help fires spread. The coats has a small fire, doesn't do much damage, but it spreads into an uncontrollable wildfire. And that's always a problem. And that first expression is literal in last week's Parsha in Mishpatim. It says, if you have a fire and it lights kotzim, again, thorns, but again, the sense of kindling. Gadish, and then it goes and consumes the haystack or a kamar or the standing grain or a sadeh or an entire field. Then shalem yishlem haver tabeira, the person who lit the fire initially has to pay. Because these things spread out of control. But the Gemara takes that pasuk, which sounds like a very straight mishpatim, civil law statement, and takes that as a metaphor. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan. So we should recognize the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. He's the one who has all the Midrashim about David. You ever see an Agada about David? It's always in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. That was his field. But he says about this, Ein pronud ba'olam ela b'zman sh'rasha'im ba'olam, that bad things happen because of the Rasha'im. But the ve'ena matchilat ela min tzadikim techila. But the bad things start happen to the tzadikim first. They're the ones who are punished, who suffer the most. As it says, Ki tse tse eich umatza kotsim, and my eish yotzeb is mancha kotsim mitzuyen la. When you have these kotsim, the Belial, David puts it here, that's when the fires are spread. Ela tchila, but it starts from the tzadikim, the damage starts with tzadikim, nema v'ne'achal gadish. That's in the past, that the thorns are burning, but it will have burned the haystack. Says the achal gadish. Now
What's
it will burn. I'm sorry.
Kaddish?
A gadish, a haystack, a pile of grain.
Okay. It sounds like Kaddish, but
Right. So that's the idea, is that you start with the kotsim, but that's what's spraying the fire, and then it destroys something actually that you want. The nachal gadish kavar, that's already been destroyed. And that this crackling of burning kutsim is a metaphor of lashon hara. We have that in Kohelet. It says ki kol hasirim ki kol hasirim tachat hasir, and that's a pun there, like the sound of the kindling underneath the pot as it's burning. Kain tzchok hakasil, that's the laughter of the fool. Comes the hell of the soul pointless. And so that we've talked about that the nature of the Belial, the wantonness, the chaos, that comes out of the lashon hara. The kol ha'sirim, the sound of the crackling. And that's the one thing that David felt would overwhelm his kingdom. And so that he notices that we have this point, uvlial, that Belial could coach munah, that they are like those the thorns that need to be pushed away because you can't handle them. And then the last pasuk of this little autobiographical sketch, ish ki ga behem, anyone who would touch them. Talking about these kotsim, these thorns. Yimalei and Rashi puts it, and I think here the Koran does as well, that as a should, that he have lots of iron and a spear. You want to handle these thorns, you need to be armed. Right? Whoever would touch them must wear armor and provide himself with a spear. Rashi says that. Tzarich she'yalbish b'saro barzel, will be covered in iron. Me'yado b'chli zayin, coats it so and be armored. But I would read that more as the consequence that Ishche Gabahem, going, touching them, handling these Belial, these thorns by spreading, you'll end up being full of iron and weapons. There's no way to avoid it.
You mean you'll have a lot of enemies, you mean?
You'll have enemies, you'll be fighting, that will destroy a sense of peace. You're looking for that peace, the Yashav Betach. In order to build this at Beit HaMikdash, we can't. Right, he saw that, and we saw that with Avshalom, with Sheva Bichri. There's no way once that starts, you have to fight. David ends up not being able to build the Beit Midrash because he's an Ish Damim. Between the Ralbag agrees it. Ritzon Lomar, right? If you touch him, you'll be full of iron and spears. Kikasher Yigaber Shaim Vikrav Aleihem. As soon as you try to get close to them and enter and fight with them, Yamalei Kol Gufo Mimakot HaBarzel. You attack by the Barzel. And this idea of these thorns and the burning thorns is part of the metaphor in Sefer Shoftim. Going back to the worst king that Bnei Israel ever had, which was Avimelech, the son of Gidon, son of Yerubbaal, sorry. Yeah, Gidon. When Avimelech, this was a show fake. But he made himself king of Shechem, right? Extended his rule, and he had 70 brothers, and he killed them all.
Wow.
One was left. Does this sound familiar at all? Shoftim
I've
Kippur.
actually, Gideon's the one book I didn't read and he showed me. So I don't know.
So, and the and what he has one brother left, who's Yotam. Yotam heard about the what Avimelech had done. And he stands on Har Gerizim. He's looking overlooking Shechem. He calls his name out. He tells people of Shechem, listen to me, you people of Shechem. Shema Elohim, and then God should listen as well. Thanks for that. Thank you. And here's a metaphor. The trees all wanted to have to set a king over themselves. And God went to the olive tree and said, "You should rule over us." Wait, you want me to stop producing my fruit? That everyone glorifies in, serves God and people. You want me to go rule over people? Nope. I don't want. I'm too important to be the king. Remember, I seem like Tainas. They go the fig. Lechiat Malkielena. You should be our king. Remember, Alehem Atena. Chaldalti et Mitaki. You want me to stop producing my sweetness? Retinuvati Atova. My wonderful produce. Lachtila Noah. It seem you want me to be rule over all the other trees. Right. Remember, see like Geffen. So they go to the grapevine. You should rule over us. So the vine says to them, you want me to stop making grape juice and wine? That makes God and it makes God and people happy. Right? The best trees do not want to be president. Who do they get? So the trees all go to the thorn bush. Another kind of thorn bush, the atad. You should rule over us. It seems the thorn bush said to them, if you're going to anoint me king, then you need to come into my shade. I'm this low little bush. You need to bow down to me. And if you don't, the fire will spread. They'll burn all the other trees, even the cedars of Lebanon. So there's no connection between this and contemporary politics.
I was going to
Nope. Yeah, we do not
yeah,
make comments about contemporary
not
politics. But
relevant.
right. So the only, so the only one, he'd make a comment about Avimelech being the worst kind of king who's only threatening to destroy anything, right? That this. Anyone who tries to get close to these kotzim will end up being a despot and burn everything down, destroy everything. He's got to avoid that. And so what happens is he ends this way, Uva'esh sarofu bashavet, and they will be burned wherever they are. As I say, they need to be burned, some sense that this will end in destruction. It's very, David starts with all this potential, he's faced with Belial, ends up in being part of that. And ends up destroying everything. It's not quite that bad because when he says, Rashi says, no, that they will be burned. The Belial can be burned, and the Shevet refers to Hashem's judgment. Shevet, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Al Kisei Adin. God will judge them. There's still hope. So if we can burn away this Kotsim, we will see the ultimate Gula. That's a sign of hope. That's why Yeshaya says it. Vayu Amim Misarfot Sid. That the other nations will be burned like lime. Kotsim Kisuchim Ba'esh. They will be destroying the fire like these Kotsim. And we have hope that we can survive them. So David, the Divrei David Achronim ends with David's last bit of Ruach Kodesh, looking at the future, the ideal future. And he's echoing that last Nevuah in history, the Nevuah of Malachi, of this final burning of evil and the final redemption of the Jewish people. In this way, Malachi puts it. Because the day will come burning like an oven. All the wicked and all that do evil, kash. It will be like straw, volata, tamayama, abba, and they will burn them up. They will not have a branch left. Get same image of this kindling burning. But now it'll just be the Rishayim who will burn. Zachar lachem yireishim, shemi, shemis zaka, and now that the sun will rise that started David's reign with all that hope and that potential. That sun will yet come, the sun of justice, merapeh b'chrafeha, and it will heal in its wings, yatzatem, upeshtam ke'elei aglei marbek, and you will go out and you will spread out like the lambs, like the calf, the frolic like calves. And then it ends with Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu HaNavi, and I will send Eliyahu the Navi to be the herald of Lifnei Bo Hayom Hashem HaGadol V'Ra Narah, before this great day of God that's so great and so awe-inspiring. And that's where David ends, with this image of the future will get better. I had the potential, I couldn't fulfill it, but I set the kingdom up, and that's who I really am. And we have this end of, and that's the end of Divrei David HaAchronim. It's not put together. David never completed this psalm that summarizes life. We know the
But
Agadah
that
about.
last sentence is basically saying, because David all his life wanted to control everything. He went out and had a war so he could get all the gold to build a Beit HaMikdash. And he like wanted to, he had this affair with Bathsheba because he wanted to have the person who's going to follow him.
Right.
And in the end, he just has to say he has faith that, everything's going to be okay.
Right, because he does not have that control. We don't know one has that control.
That's a big transformation, though, in a way.
Right, and that's so. But the, right, and this is the end of his life. He never. I don't know that David actually ever says that. I mean, Tehillim does have a lot of that of, cast your burden on Hashem.
Where is this sense on Chaf Gimel? Is that from
Oh,
Malachi?
that's from Malachi. That's not David.
That's not
I'm
that.
saying this is right. The Malachi here is using these pieces of images of the thorns burning and the sun rising from David's words. So Malachi is looking at the day to come when Eliyahu comes and Yom HaShem Gadol V'Na'arah. I
But
think David's kind of looking forward to that too.
you don't have anything from David that sort of says he has faith.
And Tehillim has a lot of that,
Okay.
putting your burden on Hashem. There is definitely a sense of there. One thought I had though about this, because about the Agadah, but this is the end of David's life. We know the Agadah about this, about the last day of his life. That he had a vision that Hashem tells him he's going to die on a Shabbat, and therefore Kol Yoma DeShabbata Hayati Begaris Kula Yoma. Every Shabbos he would sit and learn all day. Figure Hashem's not going to take his life when he's sitting learning, right? Studying, composing Tehillim, whatever he's doing in there. The day that he would die. Come Malchamavet Kameh. The angel of death came before him, Vloyachile, but couldn't do anything. He's learning. Pume Migirse. He never stopped, his learning never left his mouth. David's learning how to. That's the Agarata. Amar, my Evile. So the Malach HaMavet is asking, well, what do I do with them? Havale Bustana Achrei Beite. There was a garden behind his house, behind the palace. Ata Malach HaMavet, Selech Bilane. So the Malach HaMavet went and started rattling the trees. Wind blew in the trees. So David goes and looks. Havisalik goes onto the step. Ifre darga umat batate. The step broke and he slipped. Ishtik benachnafshe. Fell. David fell and died. That's the Agada of the end of his life. So I have this image, which is mine. I have nothing. There's nothing in the text hinting that's not no mitzvah, no tradition. I just have thought here that this final day that he is lo pasak mipume girsei, that his learning's not le doesn't leave his house is when he's looking at these notes. This is his autobiographical, his swan song. It's Shabbos, he can't write anything down, but he's just thinking about it. My image that he finally put it together. We'll cap all of Sefer Tehillim. This was the final Tehillim. At that moment, he looks up and is distracted. Ishtik, he's silent. And the Malach HaMavet takes him. Okay, so we never re learn these real Divrei David HaAchronim. It's left for us to try to put it back together. So we'll continue to learn Sefer Tehillim. We'll conclude looking back at Shirat Chanukah. All right, that was the beginning, that was the introductory psalm to Sefer Shmuel, and where Rachana says, looking at the future, Hashem yichtom mirivo, Hashem will fight his battles, alu b'shamayim yirem Hashem, that it will, the battle, the Hashem's trumpeting will go to the heavens, yadinav se'aris, and he will judge to the ends of the earth, tein oz malko, Hashem will give strength to his king, the Yarem Kerem Shicho, and raise the glory of his anointed. And that idea still goes forward through all of Sefer Shmuel and all of the life of David, that as long as we're continuing to learn Sanctus Elam, David's still here, still strong, and we say, David, Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayem. We'll end here. Thank you for joining me.
Wow, Shkoa.
And
Thank
I don't know if Sefer
you.
So
What did you say to me?
what?
I didn't hear what you just said.
Hadron halach sefer Tehillim, right? We should return to sefer Tehillim. Our
Amen,
plan right now is to continue on to Mishlei,
amen. Yeah, cool.
which should be interesting. I don't know anything about it either, but I don't know anything about Tehillim either. So
So
we'll see what I can figure
that
out.
attributed to Shlomo?
Right. So let's talk
Okay.
about Shlomo. It's going to take me some time to figure out what I want to say. So we're going to take hiatus here.
We're taking a little break.
We're going to take a little bit of break until I can kind of put at least some of this together.